Well, there was the dream team of lawyers during the O.J. Simpson trial, and now we have the dream team. That's right, Michael and Nicole Sebastian. They have worked with dreams, omens, intuition for more than 20 years, and we're going to talk with them next about prophetic dreams on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Michael and Nicole Sebastian with us, known as the Dream Team, as I mentioned. Nicole is a licensed drug and alcohol therapist and certified fitness trainer. Michael, sociologist. He has taught at numerous universities throughout the country. Here they are back on Coast to Coast. Hello, you two. How are you?
Oh, hey, George. How
George,
are you?
George, how you doing?
It's almost as if we're doing deja vu all over again, huh?
There you go.
Hey, what's new with you two?
Hey, life, and all the deja vus, just like you, yeah.
Actually, we're in development for our own TV show.
Oh, are you? Tell me about this, can you?
Well, we can tell you a little bit, certainly. It's really, it'd be a combo of Ghost Hunters and Dr. Drew. There you go. It's a little bit of paranormal therapy, George.
A little combination of both of what you do.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, when will you know if it's finalized?
Well, we're in development with the pilot and whatnot, and so they're shopping the show around.
Well, when you get the pilot done, come on back, and let's hope that the Coast listeners will all watch it, and they'll look at their ratings, and you'll have a series.
Hey.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
That's good to do it. Hey, lots been going on. People are acting strange these days. You two are experts at dreams. Let's talk, Michael, first and foremost, prophetic dreams. Give me your definition.
There's an ancient way of knowing, and that's dreams. They've been around thousands and thousands of years. The Egyptians used them, the Chaldeans, the Chinese, the Babylonians, and they all used them to get a peek at the future. And that's one of the big benefits of paying attention to our dreams. We call it a snapshot. We get a snapshot of our future. Some people call them prophetic dreams. And really, who doesn't want to get a look at what's coming around the corner? If for no other reason, so we can sidestep adversity. And prophecy dreams are in the Bible, the Quran, the Torah, the Vedas. And all we need to do to get that snapshot is be able to, number one, be able to remember the dreams.
Right.
Number two, it helps if we can track the dreams. In other words, if we keep a journal so we can jot the dreams down, because initially dreams seem like a jumble. They don't make much sense, and that's because if they are a snapshot of the future, it hasn't happened yet, so it makes no sense on a daily basis. If we begin to track that dream, we look back, there's the snapshot, we know what's coming, suddenly we gain control of where our life is going, which is one of the good things about dreams.
Can we control prophetic dreams? Can we train ourselves to do them? Or do they just happen?
Absolutely. Yes. Really, you can program a dream. You know, every night before you go to bed, you can actually, you know, ask a question, receive an answer type of thing. But the cool thing about dreams, we consider them your personal GPS. And in that way, they can let you know when you're on track, and they can let you know when you're off track, so you can make a change the course, and receive the outcome that you're looking for.
How difficult is it, Nicole, to try to interpret these dreams?
Oh, it's so simple, George. It is a different language. It's like learning geometry or something of this sort. But once you do, it becomes second nature. And truly, it's really a three-step process. You know, you use your personal word association is the best way to interpret any symbol that a person has in their dream. And then you ask yourself, what was on my mind yesterday? And when you put the two together, the data, you can come up with a simple interpretation.
Well, so I was going to say, how do we know if it was a prophetic dream or, you know, maybe somebody had a problem yesterday at work and he took it into his dream state?
I think the best way is by dream tracking. You know, at first, you know, if you journal the dream, you log the dream, and then you review the dreams quarterly, you will see the prophetic nature. And by that sense, you will come to know the feeling of the dream, when it's prophetic and when it's not, and thereby knowing the difference.
And George, it's really all one, actually. When you think about it, we inadvertently or accidentally program our dreams every night. Just by your example, like what went on yesterday in my life. I was having a problem with my boss at work. I was engaging in a new type of activity, went to a new restaurant, and then there it is in my dream that night. And so I have programmed my dream that night because as I'm falling asleep, I'm thinking about maybe the food at the restaurant, and then the restaurant is in my dream. So I've programmed the dream accidentally or on purpose, which is a really good way. Because people ask us, how can I control my dreams? Well, just before you fall asleep, you start wondering or reflecting on what you want to dream about, and that will program that dream that night.
I think you're right. Can we, well, I don't want to say alter the dream, but, you know, that's a little like lucid dreaming, but do we have the ability to change it in the dream state?
Yes, we do. And it's like, it's kind of like you just mentioned, it is like lucid dreaming. And in order to make a change in the dream state, we have to be conscious or aware. In other words, we have to realize that we are dreaming. Either we're a conscious dreamer and we know we're dreaming, or we are a player in some play that we don't control. And many dreams for many people, it's as if they're watching TV. They really can't control it. And then at some point, they grab the remote and they change the station, or they begin to have an active dialogue in the dream, which is really a advanced stage of dreaming. Some people call it lucid dreaming. Sometimes I call it soul traveling. Soul traveling is a higher form of dreaming where I am aware of what's going on and I can actually begin to control it.
Is every dream subject to interpretation?
Absolutely. Some are real simple, and some are more, you know,
complicated. Yeah.
Yeah, but absolutely. Every dream has a message. Every dream has a meaning, George.
Do you find, Michael and Nicole, that during events or calamities, that a lot of people around the planet might have the same kind of dream?
Yes. And they're probably not aware of it because people don't communicate their dreams a whole lot, and they don't realize that other people are having the same types of dreams. But when there is a national event that most people are aware of, or a calamity, a disaster, that is actually in the consciousness of the people. And, you know, it's kind of like quantum physics says, everything is connected. So if there's a calamity or a disaster, since it's connected, it's actually connected all the way down from the conscious level to the dreaming level of each individual person on the planet. So a lot of people will experience that that same event. It's like when Kennedy was shot, a lot of people had dreams of Kennedy being shot. And many people had dreams that foretold that, actually. So it kind of works like that.
A lot of people, though, Michael, won't say anything about it. You know, after the fact, they'll say, oh, my gosh, I had a dream of that plane crash, and I should have said something.
Right.
Why is that? Why don't they react to it?
I think that a lot of people, it's almost like a deja vu, like you mentioned earlier, which means already having seen. A lot of people will, it'll be in their subconscious that they had the dream because we dream all night long, actually, and I'll come back to that.
All right.
But they won't consciously remember the dream. Suddenly, there's an outer event, and that's like the deja vu, and you go, "Oh my God, now I remember my dream," and they will mention that.
Well, also, George, you know, we've been taught as kids, "Oh, it's just a dream, dear. Go back to bed." And I think that's one of the biggest things. Most people do not pay attention. They don't give any credence to dreams. They disregard them. And
I think people make a mistake by not reacting to their dreams, don't you?
Absolutely. And that's why everyone gets burned and blindsided. Because I'll tell you, George, if they did pay attention and did a little dream tracking, they would avoid, they would receive the message ahead of time, they would be prepared, they could take some action.
Yep, and there's no doubt about that. And sometimes dreams, of course, will foretell, as we talked about, disasters, calamities. But can you change that? I mean, if 100 people dream of a volcano exploding and the people didn't leave and they all die or something, can you change the outcome of something like that? And if you can, what, how do you do it?
It operates on the same principle as changing our life. I mean, how do we change, you know, if you drop back, and dreams work the same way and that conscious reality works. How do we change things out here? By first, it's in thought, or we visualize it, which brings form and feeling into the outer world. So if I want a new life, if I want a new car, if I want a new career, I have to visualize it inwardly. And dreams are not so different from that. It's a different state of consciousness, but it begins to operate on the same principle.
Well, you know what, George? You know what else? Some things are destined, okay? Some things cannot be changed, and other things are subject to change. And I think that's why we're afforded an opportunity to receive a message, to make a decision if, in fact, we can change something or not. And regardless, if we can't change that outcome because it's destined, then at least we're better prepared to handle it when it does occur.
Are there always consequences tied into something like dreams? And let me explain that. Let's assume you dream of incredible wealth, and you get it. Are there consequences tied into it? Maybe you'll be a multimillionaire, but you'll be lonely for the rest of your life, or, you know, or some tragedy is in your life. Do they come with consequences?
I think that depends on one's consciousness, one's level of consciousness, and how they handle things, truly. Because just like you said, one could, you know, experience incredible wealth, and then maybe they become, you know, a full-blown drug addict. So then they blow all their money. I mean, things like this, or perhaps maybe they be incredible wealth, and they help the needy, and they use their money that way. So I think there's always consequences, but I think they can be positive or negative, and I think it depends on one's level of consciousness.
We're with Michael and Nicole Sebastian. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I think there's a level of acceptance there to your question also, and that as we can create things and really cause them to happen. We become the cause, and then we see the effect in our life. But a lot of times, the effect is not something we anticipated because it comes with maybe negative consequences that we didn't expect. We wanted a relationship. We get a relationship from hell.
From the moment one falls asleep, when do they start dreaming? Almost instantly or later?
Instantly. Our 25 years with studying dreams and working with dreams, field experience in dreams, initially we were of the belief that everyone dreamed maybe 4 to 6 times a night, the things that you read in some research studies and different reports. But actually what we have found is that when you close your eyes and you sleep, you begin to sleep, you're instantly dreaming. And we experience an altered reality or leave our state of consciousness and enter into a new state of consciousness during a dream. And that dreaming goes on for the whole time we are sleeping. And instead of experiencing dreams 4 to 6 times a night, maybe we dream 20, 30, 40 times a night. And that's a travel log of where we have been in the altered state of consciousness or other dimensions, as quantum physics would say.
Yeah, like soul traveling, George.
Is it a protective mechanism to dream? Does it help us in our physical life?
I believe it helps us. You know, for me, it helps me connect the dots. And it not only restores a context to my life, it gives me an added dimension that I couldn't obtain anywhere else. It's like living lifetimes, and I get to do it in my dreams, And if I can remember those dreams, I bring those lifetimes back, and I am able to apply all the lessons that I learned in my dreams here in daily reality.
Are there some people who just simply can't remember their dreams?
Absolutely. I think that's the greater part of the population that can't. And there's a multitude of reasons. Drugs, alcohol, sleeping with the television on, the electromagnetic frequencies, they interfere big time with dream recall. Not having a clear state of mind, you know, this type of thing. So there's many different reasons that create trouble with recall, with dream recall.
There was an interesting caller on one of your shows, and he called in, and he said he hadn't remembered a dream in 40 years. 40 years he had never remembered a dream. And it caught my attention. That's a long time to never remember a dream. And we'd given a dream technique for remembering. And we got an email the next day, and he said for the first time in 40 years, he had remembered a couple of dreams very clearly.
I bet it was refreshing for him, wasn't it?
He was so excited. Oh, my.
Yeah.
And we were delighted. You know, one technique, and boom, it worked for him, and that changed everything.
What do you two say about dream tracking? What do you think?
I think it's imperative if you want a good life, if you want to avoid being burned and blindsided, if you want to make the right choice out of the gate. I think it's imperative.
You agree, Michael?
Yeah, and actually, I taught a dream class not that long ago, a few months out, about a half a year ago in Mexico, and there were, maybe 50 people in the dream class, and we met every week for a month, once a week for a month, and I had people track their dreams. Everyone kept a dream journal, and what was really interesting was after a couple of meetings and tracking their dreams, over 50%, approximately 50% of the class had an aha moment, and oh my God,
50%, that's huge.
Yeah, they had a breakthrough in terms of seeing where they were going, and they could see that their dreams were showing them exactly what was going to happen in their daily life.
What's more important, the one or the many, in terms of dream abilities, healing powers, prayer? Can one overcome all that, or do you have to do it in unison with a whole bunch of people?
Well, we are the healing power. In other words, dreams give us a snapshot of our true potential, and our true potential to not only exist in one state of consciousness, but to go to other dimensions and to travel and see other things and bring that travel log back on a daily basis. And in many ways, dreams heal. Through our nightly travels, we bring them back, and then there's a type of healing that occurs there, and that's one of the big benefits of dreams.
Michael and Nicole Sebastian with us here on Coast to Coast. I should say, by the way, they're pretty prolific authors as well. Trust Yourself, which is a personal roadmap for knowing. Trust Yourself Therapy, The Ancient Way of Knowing, One Step Solution, Sociology of Soul, and of course their websites are linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk more, and then the final hour we'll open up the phone lines with them. We'll be right back. And next hour with the Dream Team, we'll take your phone calls as we talk about prophetic dreams. Much more to talk about when we roll right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Michael, Nicole, Sebastian with us. And again, we'll take phone calls next hour here with our split show. Taking control of your dreams. How easy is that, Michael or Nicole?
Yeah, the easiest way to take control of your dreams is right before you fall asleep. I mean, you keep it practical. Right before you fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. I never remember when I fell asleep. Do you?
Actually, you can lay there and become very conscious of the falling asleep process, and you will notice when you step over that line into another reality, which is what we call sleep or conscious level. And that's one of the times, falling asleep and waking up, when we actually, our consciousness expands and we're aware of other dimensions very, very vividly. And you can lay there and practice that every night. Takes a few nights, maybe as long as a week or so, and suddenly you'll go, oh my God, I'm conscious of leaving this state of consciousness and going into the next, or leaving the body, as some people call. St. Paul said, dying daily. And we actually leave the body and go into that altered state of consciousness called sleep. But
back to our control.
The
control of the dream, how difficult is it?
To control the dream itself?
Yeah. Is that tough?
It's not tough, really. It just takes a little practice. It's kind of like working on your biceps or working out at the gym. And all we need to do is intend, before we fall asleep, we tell ourselves that we're going to be awake or aware in the dream. And pick an object, that's all, any object. And I usually look at my ring. And so when I'm in the dream, I will see my ring, and it reminds me that I'm asleep, so I begin to wake up. And as I begin to wake up, I am able to take control of the dream. I'm aware of the dream. It's just like in daily life. I'll walk into the next room, or I'll sit down, or I'll turn the TV on. That way I take control of the dream, and we program ourselves just before we fall asleep.
Nicole, do you think we can send our dreams into somebody else's dream?
I do. Because we're really all connected at a quantum level, George. However, I do not recommend it because I truly feel that it's invading one's spiritual space, spiritual freedom. And I personally try to limit and cut down on my level of karma every day. So I do try to avoid that. Now, you could actually get someone else's permission, maybe it's a loved one or this type of thing, and you say, hey, let's try to do this tonight. Now, that's kind of cool, and that would be fun, and you could set that up together.
Like an experiment.
But, but other than that, George, you know, it's really dream intrusion and invading someone's spiritual freedom, so it's kind of tricky that way.
I would guess a lot of people practice that. Trying to enter somebody else's dream or to affect them somehow?
Yeah, I absolutely think you're right.
And I think that shamans, different people have practiced that and used that technique and have probably for thousands of years. And I think inadvertently, a lot of people do that by accident, by thinking about, all you could do is think about someone before you fall asleep. And in many ways, that allows you to enter other dreams.
Yeah, someone's obsessed with someone, you know, daily, maybe another work employee or someone they'd like to date, and their thoughts are just constantly on that person, and then, boom, they're in their dream affecting that person negatively, you know, or positively, but nonetheless.
And you need to protect yourself at that point. So protection techniques in the dream state are very, very effective.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Michael, because actually, George, we are responsible for our own protection and keeping people out of our own space. I mean, nothing can harm us unless we allow it, and that goes for ghosts and entities and aliens and everyday people. And there are certain techniques we can use and implement for protection to take care of ourselves, and because it's our responsibility.
Give me some of those techniques.
I'll give you our favorite, and that's the hue, something you're familiar with.
I remember
that.
But
it works, and that's why we're so fond of it, George.
Didn't you hue the last time you were on the show?
Absolutely.
I remember that.
And the listener of the 40-year hasn't remembered a dream. That's the technique he used to remember a dream after 40 years, and it's the hue, real simple, give you a quick demo. All you do is inhale. Hue. You gently say hue, H-U-H-U, on the exhale. It simply means God. It's a universal term for God, and it's where the word human comes from. And the word human really means God-man, and it's God within man, the creative spark we all have within us, George.
It's the way to do it.
Yeah.
It works. You also talk about a personal crystal ball in your dream state. What does that mean?
Seeing the future, knowing the future, and changing the future to have a better outcome. Knowing what's coming, seeing around the corner before you get to the corner, George.
Every dream, actually, George, and here's one for the listeners, and every dream really is, in many ways, prophetic, and this reality is built on the substructure of other realities. You know, even quantum speculates there's at least 12 dimensions that they think they can tap into. So when we are able to see other realities, in many ways that flow comes all the way down to our current waking reality. So we're getting a snapshot of what's coming before it gets here. And consequently, that's for us, it's a way to see around the corner, as Nicole had mentioned, a way to connect the dots. In other words, we're having a personal prophecy. And the reason we haven't connected the dots is we don't remember the dreams. So as we begin to journal them, remember them, suddenly we'll go, oh, my God, I had that dream three nights ago.
Right.
There it is in my journal.
Where do the nightmares fit into this, Michael?
Strong message. And that's why it turns into a nightmare. It's as if, you know, your wife is yelling, you know, pick up the socks, pick up the socks. Maybe she's asking nicely. And then after a week of not picking up the socks, then she's screaming at you to pick up the socks. Dreams and nightmares work the same way. It's a gentle message, a loving message, one for our betterment, regardless if it's negative or positive. And then if we disregard it or we don't remember the dream, George, it turns into a nightmare to simply get our attention.
Do you find if you're under a lot of stress, you will have different kinds of dreams?
Well, I think we'll have more disturbing dreams, George, if we're under extreme stress.
Explain.
Go ahead, Michael.
Our outer life is reflective of our inner life, the inner life being dreams. And if we're serene, we're fairly harmonious outwardly, we take a little time for reflection, maybe meditation, or maybe we hew for 5 or 20 minutes a day. Our dreams will be reflective of what's going on in our outer life. If we are stressed out, we are totally... veterans with PTSD, we do a lot of work. That's a good example. We do a lot of work with vets with post-traumatic stress.
And dreams?
And their dreams, they'll call us, and some of them are suicidal. They're totally stressed
that's
out.
That's true.
They have nightmares, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and that's all translated into their dreams. So we start with dream therapy, and that's a good starting point with them.
Do you hypnotize people?
Oh, no.
You won't do that.
No. You don't know where you're going to end up, and then you leave footprints in there and one's consciousness, and really people can handle themselves. That's why the whole series, George, is called Trust Yourself. It's really about no one knowing you better than you and knowing what to do and how to solve your own problems and receiving divine guidance on a daily basis.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. Trust yourself.
Trust yourself is kind of like the wording implies, that through we have all the answers within. We have everything within. And all we need to do to access that inner database is, number one, pay attention to our dreams so we can get a snapshot of what's coming. Number two, intuition. Pay attention while we're awake to those gut feelings. I have found that intuition is never wrong. And I often get that. People go, well, how do you tell the difference between intuition and paranoia? And, you know, I followed my intuition and I got burned. And, you know, I always say to them, you got burned because you didn't follow your intuition. You second-guessed it.
That's
you were
right.
Listening to the mind.
Yep.
Your real gut feeling would have led you to truth.
Yeah. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People just don't look at the gut. They don't know how to interpret it, and you know they get shafted.
Yeah, and it it's a real subtle thing, because that intuition is a feeling. It's not a thought, and therein lies the difference. Because as we begin to work with people or teach them how to follow their intuition, I say watch for the feeling. It comes in the solar plexus. You can feel it in the heart area. The thought comes in through the head, and therein lies the difference.
What creates the prophetic dream? What gives people that ability to basically glance into the future?
At a soul level, George, we have access to the past, the present, and the future. And there is truly no timeline, if you will. There's only time here in the physical, and that's so we can keep things in order in our mind. But when we sleep, we dream. When we dream, we leave the body. We soul travel, and soul has access to all data, past, present, future, past lifetimes, future lifetimes, access to all data. And in that way, we can access the prophetic dream, if you will, because of that 360-degree viewpoint that we all have access to.
That's pretty dramatic all by itself, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And once we track it, you know, it's like, don't take our word for it. For your listeners, you know, try it yourself. Just journal a dream or two and then review it, and you will come to know personally how they are prophetic, and there is a message, and it's for everyone's betterment. And it's pretty exciting once it gets rolling. Oh, my gosh, you will be blown away almost on a daily basis, because it does occur every single day. Dreams, intuition, and synchronicity. And those three combined as a methodology, they provide that divine guidance, that ultimate decision-making, so we don't get burned or blindsided. And the hue turns up the volume, George, on those three methods for becoming really like a little Jedi Knight, if you will.
Do you recommend people go to sleep when they're upset? Are they going to have strange dreams?
Yeah, actually. You know, the best thing to do when we lay down is to do a couple hues, out loud or silently, whatever one is comfortable with, because that brings that peace and that harmony within. And it aligns the subatomic particles at the quantum level, so everything can just kind of harmonize that way. And help everybody relax.
Yeah, and if you fall asleep when you're really stressed out, that's going to translate immediately into possibly not only a stressful dream but a nightmare.
True, but some people though just pass out, don't they?
Oh yeah, especially if they had too many beers.
Well, now that's an interesting question. It was on my mind. If somebody's drunk or they drink a lot, what kind of dreams do they have?
Muddy.
You muddy the stream, because it's consciousness is a stream of electromagnetic fields, a stream of thought, and then think of it as pouring mud into that clear stream. Think of it as pouring polluted toxic chemicals into that, because that's what we're doing when we get engaged in different types of behavior having to do with drugs. It makes our dreams extremely muddy.
Well,
and not only that, maybe you're also going to receive some messages about cleaning up your act. You know, maybe
will you even know you're having it if you're that muddied up?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's still a message there, whether or not we can grasp it and decode it properly. You know, that again depends on one's level of consciousness and awareness. But certainly, there's still a message in there.
We won't be conscious enough to probably pick up on it at that point. In other words, we're going to be numb and dumb because of our behavior.
Are people who are happier, do they dream better?
Well, the inner and the outer are connected, and the inner, the outer reflects. They reflect one another. So I think if one is happy, then their dream state's going to reflect that, and vice versa. If they're miserable, they're going to get that as well.
What's the percent, happy versus miserable?
Well, I think if we look around today, it's
probably 70-30 miserable.
There's more suicide today than there's ever been, George. There's more addiction today than there's ever been. It's a chaotic world, George.
What is it?
I don't know. It seems to be heading even more so in that direction.
What's the common barometer that keeps people that whacked out?
Inability to clear their mind and actually breathe for a moment, to actually sit down and reflect and sit down and meditate. And it's interesting because we're just constantly bombarded by outer behavior. And a lot, like Nicole mentioned earlier, the EMFs, electromagnetic fields from all of the things that surround us, from the TV to the computers to the games. And that interferes with our personal electromagnetic fields in the body. And it's jumbled, and we feel constantly anxious, stressed out, depressed, suicidal. And what do? The doctors just write more prescriptions for Valium, Xanax, Zoloft, you name it.
If somebody's under the influence of drugs like that, prescription drugs, what are their dreams like, if at all?
Well, we do have a lot of clients on psychotropics, psychotropics being your Seroquel, your Prozac, and your Zoloft, et cetera.
All lousy drugs.
Huh? Yeah, that's why we call the Hue, you know, one magic word and one-step solution, because the Hue tends to take care of everything. We've even found clients that were on psychotropics and narcotics as well, prescribed, after some Hueing. A few months of Hueing, they found that they could do away with their doctor's approval, but they could do away with their psychotropic medication. How powerful the Hue is.
What is it about the Hue, Nicole, that makes people peaceful?
Well, it affects their central nervous system. You know, simply put, the central nervous system comprised of cells, comprised of atoms, comprised of subatomic particles. All we are is a big ball of energy that vibrates at a certain rate and frequency. And the Hue, because of the power of the word, you know, in our research, we found the word Hue in 13 different religions and spiritual paths in their sacred books, from the Freemasons all the way to Christianity. So the power of the word itself, George, along with the resonance and what it does at the subatomic level, creating that harmony, just does wonders. It's a 24-hour turnaround, we have found.
Are all your books still available?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
What's the best way to get them?
If they go to, your website, which is linked up to ours, or they could go directly to ours, you know, at trustyourself.tv. That's a simple URL to get people there. Or dreamteamcoaching.tv. Or even Amazon, or a bookstore.
They've all got it.
So you got it. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, stick with us. We're going to come back in just a moment. We're going to take phone calls now on prophetic dreams, dreams in general. Have you used your dreams to better yourself? Check in with us as well. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.